on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hello, what is up? Welcome back to another edition of the YoteCast podcast. My name is John Thayer. It's great to have you for another YoteCast episode. You know, on this podcast, we always try to get guests that maybe you are aware of, but maybe you don't know their story, or maybe as a fan, we can connect you more with a student athlete or a coach or an administrator. And we've been able to do that a number of times on this podcast. And if you are maybe you're new to being a USD fan, right? We get a lot of fans, obviously, that students come to USD, they start playing sports. Maybe you find this podcast. You can always go back to look at, listen to all of our podcast episodes by going to goyotes.com/YoteCast. You can find so many of the episodes that we've done over the past few years, and it's really been great. We get the opportunity to get to know many different student athletes and just share their stories, right? And just talk to them about what is going on in their sport or how they got to where they are in their sport. And today's episode, we get the whole range here. We're going to talk to Harold Mann, who's the play-by-play voice of Lamar. So we'll give you a preview of the Lamar Cardinals. But we have two other interviews, I should say, on this episode. And one of them is a women's golfer, Ella Greenberg, who is brand new to USD, right? She's played in two events as a collegiate golfer. And the other one is inducted into the Hall of Fame at USD. So we're like, you know, somebody who's new to USD, somebody who obviously had a great career at USD. And as we get to Hall of Fame weekend and the induction for six individuals into the Hall of Fame, plus a team will be given special recognition. You know, it made me think back to just think about the Hall of Fame, right? So many of these student athletes, they come to USD, and maybe sports is an opportunity for them to have their education paid for. Right. Maybe it is a way of life for these individuals that allows them to still remain focused on academics, or it keeps them away from doing something else. Like, sports means something different to each individual. Right. For some of us, sports was something that got us through high school, and maybe we tried it in college, but we realized we didn't have a future in playing sport. So many of these student athletes do have a future, and they go through it. And, you know, a lot of these, some student athletes, they go into college or they go into whatever level it is, and they think that they're going to break every record imaginable because they just have that confidence, right? They have that drive. So many of these student athletes, though, they come into college and they just want to perform well, and they want to set personal best, because that means if they're doing that, they're beating their previous time and they're putting themselves in a position where they have never been. And this weekend, we get to recognize six individuals who came to USD, whether it was their first choice or not, and they competed extremely hard in their respective sport, and they're being inducted into the Hall of Fame for that reason. So you look at these individuals, and obviously you'll learn a lot about the Hall of Fame inductees, and I encourage you to go to goyotes.com and check out all the features on each one of these individuals who are being inducted into the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame. But, you know, it starts with Emma Erickson Ladwig, who graduated in 2011 from USD. She swept the 800-meter indoor and outdoor national championships as a freshman in 2008. And it's incredible to win a national championship, especially in an individual sport, right? You'll take it at any level, there's no question, or any sport, but in an individual performance, it was literally you were the best in that particular race in that year. And she was able to win the indoor and outdoor national championships in 2008. She was the first freshman to win two national titles in one year, and the second USD women's athlete to do that, to accomplish that. I mean, it's absolutely incredible when you think about it. She was six All-America honors that season, and obviously she just had a tremendous career. And so she goes into the Henry Hyder, Coyote Sports Hall of Fame. Then you have Lito Rolfe, who is a 7-time All-American, who was a very incredible swimmer in the 400-yard individual medley. 3 NCC titles in that event. She won a silver medal at the Division II National Championships in 2008. She obviously had a tremendous career. She graduated from USD in 2008 and so just really helped put on a show in her final season at USD. Paul Brozek was a 3-time All-American. He was an academic All-American. He was a very, very talented high jumper and long jumper, and the North Central Region Male Indoor Athlete of the Year in 2003. He was also a finalist for National Athlete of the Year in the NCAA, and that's incredible. You know, when you get an opportunity to be considered in that, I mean, that speaks very highly of what you were able to accomplish. And Paul Brozek, a graduate of USD in 2004, and as you go down the list, you see Marcy Miller-Gasson, who was a 2005 graduate of USD and a 6-time All-American pole vaulter. She was the NCAA Woman of the Year for South Dakota in 2005 and took a bronze in the Indoor National Championship meet in 2004. Six top six finishes at Nationals over her 4 years of competition. And that's incredible. You know, over the last, I don't know, 10 to 12 years, we've really talked about the pole vault at USD and pole vault U and all of this, which is great. But she also, obviously, she was somebody who put pole vault on the map at USD in 2005, right? So incredible career. Got married to a former Coyote linebacker, and she just had a tremendous career. So she gets the opportunity to go into the Hall of Fame. Will Powell's another one who was tremendous in his career at the University of South Dakota. And we're going to chat with him coming up in this episode of the Yokecast podcast. And hopefully we'll get the chance to chat with all of these individuals over the next few weeks and kind of you know, reconnect you with some of these people. It's, you know, it's college athletics. These individuals graduate and you lose touch because they go on to different things. And if we can reconnect you to some of those individuals, it's phenomenal. You look at what Will Powell did in his career, and he caught 55 passes his last year at USD. That today is still a record by one in the number of receptions in a single season. Obviously, a tremendous effort for him. He had 10 touchdowns in one of his years. I believe it was his second year in the program. That's still the second most touchdown catches in a season in program history. And he's a guy who went on to still be connected in football, right? It wasn't just USD. He went on to play in Europe, and then he helped found Podium, which we'll talk to him about, and that helps people find their connection, their ability to play football and continue professional football as, you know, you go into international football. But Will Powell, a graduate of 2013. And then Todd Poling's getting inducted as a special contributor, and he was a two-sport athlete at USD that graduated in 1988, a Vermilion native. He played football. He ran track and field for the Coyotes in the 1980s. He was an NCC champion in 1985 in the 800-meter indoor 800-meter run, and he qualified for the Outdoor National Championships as well, and obviously had himself a tremendous career. And so he has been a big part of contributing to USD over the last several years. He and his wife, Rosie, they have a couple of kids, but they've contributed to more than 30 different funds at USD over the last several decades. So we really appreciate, you know, obviously what he did, not only as a student athlete back in the day, but as he continues to help be someone who wants USD to take that next step forward. And it's incredible. I always think the special contributor inductions into the Hall of Fame are fantastic, because those people are committed, lifelong commitment to helping USD try to reach what it can be. And then special recognition will be given to the 2006 men's track and field team. Dave Gottsleben, of course, was the head coach of the track and field team at the time, and the 2006 NCC Outdoor Championship meet in 2004. 2006 in Sioux Falls is what they won. They had the fourth highest total in the history of the NCAA with 274 points that year. They went on to place fourth in the national meet in Emporia, Kansas that year, and it was the second highest team finish in program history. And so obviously there were incredible athletes that were a big part of that team, and obviously an incredible coach in Dave Gottsleben, who has just made his mark in so many different ways at the University of South Dakota. But those are the individuals being inducted, and they're going to get recognized in the football game on Saturday, and I hope you get the opportunity to say hi to them and thank them not only for being Coyotes, but for their efforts on and off of the field. So many of these people, they compete hard and they want to have success, right? But they want to be remembered for more than just the success that they had on the field. And we're able to induct some great individuals into the Hall of Fame. And obviously this is a very track and field heavy class that we have with Todd Poling, who was on the track team, obviously the men's track team in 2006, Paul Brozik, Marcy Miller-Gasson, Emma Erickson-Ladwig. They're all track athletes, right? And then you get a swimmer and Lita Rolf and a football player and Will Powell. So incredible opportunity to say thank you to these people, and I hope you get that opportunity throughout the course of the weekend. Hall of Fame weekend at the University of South Dakota. Congratulations to all of them on their induction into the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame. Coming up in the podcast, we will talk to Will Powell, who is one of the inductees into the Hall of Fame and had a great football career at the University of South Dakota. He's only been out for 10 years and gets immediately into the Hall of Fame. Says a lot about the success that he had at USD. Also coming up in the podcast, we will give you a preview of the Lamar Cardinals with Harold Mann, the radio play-by-play voice of Lamar. We'll get it started this week, though, with Ella Greenberg, who is coming off of a school record performance earlier this week, where she turned in a round of 67 in the final round of the Redbird Invitational in her home state. She cards the program record for USD with a 67 on the scorecard. Huge congratulations to her. Obviously, as a freshman, that's a huge accomplishment, and hopefully great things to come in her career. But earlier this week, I had a chance to catch up with Ella, talk to her not only about the performance this past week, but also about her goals in the future. Ella, you're coming off of another tournament with South Dakota, a couple of tournaments to start your collegiate career, and obviously coming off of a school record performance in a round of 67 this past weekend. But you look at your first two tournaments of your collegiate career, how would you assess just you at college golf at a young age and really trying to just grasp it?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's definitely a lot different than I've ever played in before. Like, I played on a team in high school, but obviously it's not as competitive. And getting to college, it's you're not just playing for yourself, you're playing for your team also. And I'm just happy I got to like contribute to the team this week, and then the week before that too. Had a few rough rounds in North Dakota. It was rainy and really cold, like really cold. And the first day at in Fargo, and it was a rough round for everybody. I only got through 16 holes, and then they were like, they called it because there was lightning, and then they did not want to send us back out. And then so we finished the last two holes in the morning. That was definitely an eye-opener of the weather and the wind and everything. And then the second day, put together a pretty solid round. And then moved on to Illinois, and first two rounds solid. Putts were not dropping the first 2 days, and then did a little tweaking with my putting on the practice green before the third round of the tournament, and the putts started dropping, and my ball striking I don't think has ever felt this good, and I'm pretty confident right now, so yeah.
Yeah, it obviously showed with a school record round at 67. Did you know that was a school record? Obviously, you knew you were playing well, mm-hmm. but did you know you were close to that or think about it at all during the round?
No, I actually didn't. I had no clue. And then coach came up to me after, and after I made on my last hole, it was a shotgun start, so my last hole was hole number 6. And so, I birdied the last hole to get it back to five under after my double. And he came over to me and he was like, I'm pretty sure this is a school record. That's like one of the first things he said to me. I was like, huh? Like, no, so I had no clue. Yeah.
How does it feel in a round like that? You get that double bogey you mentioned, but mm-hmm. you still fire an incredible round. That one hole's frustrating,
yeah.
but you know things are going well.
Yeah, no, obviously, like, can't be mad about the round, but wish the double didn't happen, because without that double, I would have been 7 under, and then without the other bogey, I would have been 8 under, just because of the 8 bogeys. It definitely is frustrating, but I'm still really happy with how I played.
When you're going through a round, are you one that likes to communicate with a coach, or are you kind of just like, in your own mind and in your own world on the golf course?
Definitely. I was communicating with both of our coaches. We have an assistant coach this year, which is really nice. So you get to, instead of just one coach on the course, there's two. So you get to talk to them a little bit more. And I definitely think talking just to them and not even about golf, like, helped just calm me down, because, like, I knew I was playing good, and I was not gonna lie, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my god, I keep making birdies, like, this is crazy. And I think I told Coach Nava that. I was like, I don't know what to do with myself right now. I'm just like, I don't just talk to me about anything besides golf, like, I just don't want to think about it. But yeah, no, I definitely appreciate both coaches' help on the course out there this weekend.
When you're going through a round and early on a few things may be going well, when do you know in a round that it has a chance to be a really good day?
Well, obviously, anything can happen in golf. Like, I was 6 under par going into actual hole number 4, so that was like I had 3 holes left to play. And so that was kind of when I'm like, okay, getting close to the end. And I think I definitely psyched myself out a little bit, but I was getting close to the end. I'm like, okay, I'm most likely gonna shoot under par this round. I don't know how much under, because I still do have 3 holes left to play, but that was kind of like my thought process. I was trying not to think about it, because golf is a very, very mental game, very mental. And I think that if you have a good mental game, that puts good players and great players, like, that separates them, is definitely the mental game. Because you can have the best, like, golf game, like, there is, and you can have a poor mental game, and that's when you shoot poorly. So
you mentioned that the collegiate golf rounds that you've played so far mm-hmm. are a little bit different than the high school mm-hmm. competitiveness of golf. What do you notice different about college golf versus high school golf through your first two mm-hmm. tournaments?
Definitely more competition. That's the main thing. A lot. It's more intense. Like, high school, not as much pressure on it. Not as many people watching. Not as many teams. And our high school team, we did pretty well. And so, like, especially like conference and stuff, we were kind of like more like expected to win and expected to do well. And now I feel like you have to work for it a little more, just because there is so much more competition. There's so many good teams and good golfers out there.
When did it maybe slip into your mind that college golf was something that you wanted to pursue and could pursue?
Probably right when I got to middle school is kind of when I started focusing on golf. Like, my whole life I played a bunch of different other sports, and played like basketball and volleyball and soccer, and then I kind of started narrowing it down. So I played volleyball and basketball and golf in middle school, and then that's when I was like, hey, I'm way better at golf than I am at these other two sports. And so, yeah, I just kind of started focusing in more on golf. And then 8th grade, we had like middle school state, like, so kind of like high school but in middle school, and we didn't have like a team, so me and my sister played as like individuals there, and I won middle school state in 8th grade, shooting 68. So I was like, that's kind of when I knew. I was like, I want to do this. And I was really excited for like the high school. And then I think definitely like sophomore year, right when I could start getting recruited, was when I really, really knew that I wanted to play college golf. Like, I had always wanted to, but that's when it kind of became real, like talking to coaches and getting recruited.
Through the recruitment process, you end up at the University of South Dakota. How did that come about for you, and you ultimately pick USD as a school to go to?
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach reached out to me, and we talked a lot, and I think the main thing that separated him from other coaches is he was a little more personable. Talked not just about golf and about just like family and school and other things. Some of the other coaches were more like golf. And another thing is I've known Katie. She's a sophomore on our team right now. I've known her since I was 10 years old. So like that was a big factor too, just like knowing a familiar face and knowing somebody. Because like going to a new place, not knowing anybody is terrifying. But definitely those two factors were like two of the biggest things. Just, yeah.
This summer, you had the opportunity to compete in the USGA Junior Championship in Colorado. What was that experience like?
That was my first USGA event, so I had to qualify back in May, I believe, and I played at a course like an hour and 45 minutes away from my home, and I had never played that course, didn't play a practice round. I wasn't really expecting to qualify because there's a lot of competition again, and I had never done it before. So I really didn't have like any expectations. And I think that's like the best part is when you don't have expectations and then it turns out really well. And I was a couple under par, and then I knew that I was gonna be close to qualifying at that point. And then I was playing with this girl who played in a practice round. She's like, you know, like the last three holes are the hardest holes on the course. And I'm like, oh, great. So I think I was like three under going into 16. And then I ended up like doubling 16 and then like bogeying 17. And so I think I ended up like even or one over or something, but I still ended up qualifying. And the USGA tournament is amazing. Like the, just everything there, like, you walk into the clubhouse and they have a room and it's like just for players, and they have like snacks and drinks and like you could do your hair at like a station like in there, and like they just like that event is totally like catered to the players and just to make it like the best experience possible, and you can like 100% tell, and they just put on like amazing events, so it was an experience of a lifetime definitely.
You get a chance to play in an event like that, and obviously your collegiate career has started off really successful, and you're obviously hoping to continue to improve at the game. You've got obviously a lot of time left in college to even think about what might be next, but is professional golf something that is in the back of your mind, something maybe worth pursuing?
It's definitely something I've always like thought about since I was little. Golf has always been my main sport, and like anybody that plays a sport when they're a little kid always says, oh, I want to be a professional. A football player wants to go play pro on the NFL. And so it's definitely always like a dream of any athlete, I feel like. But now like that I'm in college and I'm playing well, like it's becoming more surreal. Like it's becoming more like in reach. So maybe trying to play in a couple professional events after college and just seeing how it goes. You never know what can happen. So.
Who do you like to follow on the LPGA?
I've always been a big fan of Lexi Thompson. She's been one of my favorites ever since I was younger. When I was really little, I really liked Michelle Wee. I liked how she played on the men's tour when she was, I believe she was 14 years old. Yeah, she played on the men's tour, and so like I always thought that was such like an inspiration. I've always looked up to her, so yeah.
Yeah, really cool to find those people to kind of just continue to watch and kind of self-motivate yourself a little bit. Speaking of motivation, I'm sure you had a little bit this past weekend. You're from Illinois. You were playing in Illinois. Family not terribly too far away. Did you get a big crowd to follow you?
Yeah, I think I had like 18 people at one point. On Sunday, my aunt and uncle and my cousin came, and then my cousin's girlfriend of a few years came, and then her brother goes to Illinois State, so he came out and watched. I didn't even know he was gonna be there. And then my mom and my dad, and then my two sisters, and then my grandma, And then my great uncle John, who's a big golfer, he came out and supported. But I had a really big crowd following, and it was just great to see everybody. Haven't seen them in about a month, and my parents are going to try to come to as many as they can without missing too much work. Sure. They wish they could be there for all of them, obviously, but can't with they still have to work and make money.
Yeah, it's kind of part of being an adult. You mentioned your parents were there and your sisters. Are you from a golf family? Has it always been something that your family does, or how did you kind of, I guess, pick it up?
My dad has golfed just for fun, like never played for a team or in school or anything, but him and his brother would always play. And then my grandpa, so on my mom's side, he would always play, and so he would always come out with us. And so it would be me, my grandpa, and my dad, and my sister, and we would go out every Sunday and we would golf. And that's like one of my first memories with golf, definitely, is playing with my family. But my mom doesn't golf. And then my younger sister, who's 10, she's picking it up and she's getting pretty good. So yeah. I've played golf as long as I can remember.
Won't be too far down the road, and she'll be providing the competition for you. So maybe that'll be a nice little rivalry. Obviously, you've got big goals in golf, mm-hmm. Collegiate golf, hopefully professional golf. If that all doesn't work out, what are your kind of plans for a major, and what would you like to do next, or have you thought that far ahead?
I haven't really thought too much about it. I've always pictured myself doing something with golf after college. Like, obviously, if professional golf doesn't work out, just teaching golf is a big thing. My swing coach since I was little, I think he's been my swing coach for like 13 years. So he was a big inspiration with me and stuff. And I really enjoyed watching him and doing that. And so working at a golf course and teaching golf to kids and adults and people of all ages. And so I could see myself doing that 100%. Yeah.
Unique place to go play in your next tournament. It's the Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho, and a tournament hosted by Gonzaga. They have the famous floating green. Have you ever been? I'm sure you know a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. I've looked up pictures, and I was looking at it, and I was this does not look like Idaho. definitely not. You always think, I've never been to Idaho in my life, and I was this is not how I pictured Idaho. But yeah, no, I'm really excited for that event. It seems like a really amazing golf resort, and the floating green seems fun. Just hop on a boat in the middle of your round. I'm really excited for that event. So
you look at your team, and there's obviously, you're in your first year with the program, and there's a few others that are the same. What do you like about this group? Even though a group of it is young, what do you like about this this group and what this golf team can accomplish this year?
Well, I definitely think that the main thing I do like about it is that we're young. We have a few more years, all seven of us together, and just to build that team chemistry and push each other to all get better. And we're all kind of in the same boat, too. We're all newer, despite there is some sophomores, but they're still underclassmen and still figuring everything out. And I feel like we can relate to each other a lot more and just be we're a lot closer, just because we're closer in age too. But yeah, we have at least three years together, the seven of us, and then the four of us, us freshmen, have 4 years together. So I think that's really great, just that, and we're such a small team. Golf is such always a small team, and so I feel like the golfers are always closer, just because we're all always together. And I think that the main thing I do like is that we are young, and I think that we can do some pretty good stuff in the next few years.
We're excited to see what you and the rest of this team can accomplish. Congrats again on the school record round 67. I know you'll have an opportunity to chase down more school records, so keep hopefully after it. And good luck all season long. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here. Thanks.
That is Ella Greenberg. She is coming off of a school record performance, a 67 in the final round of the Redbird Invitational. first season at USD, her second event as a collegiate golfer. So hopefully more incredible things can come for her. The team will now head to the Spokane, Washington area, Coeur d'Alene in Idaho, the Coeur d'Alene Resort Collegiate Invitational. They are set to compete September 24th through the 26th. That is hosted by Gonzaga at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So hopefully good things can happen for the Oats in that event. And you heard Ella talk about it, but they do have a floating green. It has a some kind of pulley system underneath that they can move the green in and out towards land and back away. And the crazy thing about it is they can set it up for different distances. So it'll be interesting to see how they have it set up for that. And then you jump on a boat to get to the green. Do your putting. The boat takes you back to the tee box area where you go on to the next hole. And the other really unique thing, I had a chance to play Coeur d'Alene in June for the first time. The other really unique thing about their resort is their driving range that they use is you hit into the water. They have golf balls that float. They go about 80% of your swing. At least that's what they say. So naturally, we all try to hit it as far as we possibly can, since they only say 80%. But their driving range is literally that you hit it into the water. They have an area roped off, and then they have obviously a boat of some sort or something that goes and picks them all up, and then they do it all over again. So unique. They encourage you to hit in the water from the get-go, though, at the driving range. All right, so good luck to the Coyote women's golf team, Coach Brett Bennett, Ella, and her team as they get ready to head out west for the Coeur d'Alene Resort Collegiate Invitational that is coming up on September 24th. So a couple of weeks away for that event. Coyote football is set to host the Lamar Cardinals. It'll be the fourth all-time meeting between South Dakota and Lamar. The Coyotes last played Lamar in 2010. That was actually the first year that Lamar had football back as a varsity sport. They had discontinued football following the 1989 season, and they added it in 2009 but began playing a varsity schedule in 2010. The Coyotes went to Beaumont, Texas, same year that USD beat Minnesota. They went to Beaumont, Texas, and lost by 4 to the Lamar Cardinals. Coyotes have never beaten Lamar in football. They're 0-3 against the Lamar Cardinals. The other two matchups came in 1959 and 1960, so only one matchup in recent memory. The two teams are scheduled to play in Beaumont, Texas next year. I had a chance to catch up with Harold Mann. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Lamar Cardinals, and talk to him about the 0-2 start for Lamar. Harold, you get set for another football game and a road trip, back-to-back road games for the Lamar Cardinals. You look at Lamar so far off to an 0-2 start, but boy, they really built that as a tough schedule to get this thing going with a really, really good Idaho team, one of the best in the FCS, and of course last week an FBS game against UL Monroe. Tough start, but also a very tough schedule for this group to get it started.
It is, and really excited. Pete Rossomondo, a new head football coach here at Lamar, basically an entire new staff. And first thing he looks is down the barrel, the number 8 team in the country with Idaho, and then your FBS challenge. But one good thing we saw with Lamar, big improvement from week 1 to week 2.
You look at that improvement from week 1 to week 2. What was the big thing that you noticed out of this group as they continue to work through a season under a new head coach?
I thought the offensive line did a much better job protecting the quarterback, Robert Coleman, from week 1 to week 2. I thought the offensive line showed immensely improvement. And defensively, I thought the Cardinals played much better.
I would imagine a great deal of focus for that defense is to stop the run. South Dakota would love to run the football, and Lamar has had some challenges with the run defense so far. What have you seen out of that run defense, and how much of an emphasis that is for this group?
They really want to focus on it again, that the defensive front. At times, they showed some signs of maturing and coming together, but that is one area the Cardinals really don't need to work on. I thought they did a better job last week with the run. Again, learning a new scheme under a new defensive coordinator. So it's new kids and new coaches.
One of the things I've noticed with Lamar is this is a team that the majority of their points have come in the fourth quarter. It sure seems like even when a team is down on the scoreboard, this team never quits.
Oh no, they're going to play 60 minutes of football without a doubt, John. But that's what we knew. Want to look at? We want to somewhere somehow put four quarters of football together. We played much better in the second half against Idaho, and we had a lot of chances against UL Monroe last week as they win that game 24-14 and fake field goal that was thrown for an interception on the first drive of the game. Lamar turned it over inside the five. A blocked field goal for a touchdown for ULM. It's just putting four quarters together is what this coaching staff wants these kids to do.
You mentioned Pete Rosamondo as the head football coach, and he took over less than a year ago as the head coach at Lamar. What kind of approach does he bring to Lamar football?
It's a whole new atmosphere. Now, I don't want to say anything about the previous coaching staff, but there's more. It seems to be more energy. He is a very energetic coach, more excitement, and it's just a new atmosphere. The kids are really excited, and I think that excitement starts at the top.
When you look at Coach Rosamondo and the staff that he brought in, you talk about the energy level, and obviously these assistant coaches, they better have energy if your head coach has some energy. What have you seen out of this group of coaches that gets you excited about what Lamar football can be?
You know, it starts at the top and trickles down, and I've seen a lot of excitement. There's actually two holdover coaches, Coach Cordova, Coach Gibson, and they seem to have a different attitude approaching this year. That the excitement's installed, and that's one thing Coach Rosamondo has talked about. You know, you got to reflect on your kids. You know, if the kids see the coaches not all excited, you know, why should they get excited? And, you know, it just starts at the top. Coach Pete Rosamondo, he has a good track record and just brings a lot of, as we mentioned, excitement, and he expects the same from his coaching staff.
It wasn't that long ago that Lamar didn't have a football program. They had discontinued the program for a while. They brought it back in 2010, the first year back as a varsity program. What have you seen over the last several years that just brings back, it makes that a good decision to bring football back to Lamar?
Well, you know, everybody says their state's a football state, but there's no doubt Texas is a football state. When we get, you know, 15,000 fans at a high school game, you know, that says a lot. And a lot of kids from right here in Southeast Texas are going to other FCS schools in the area, and they needed a place to play here at home. It was a dormant for 21 years. As you mentioned, brought it back in 2010. But bottom line is the Cardinals got to start winning. You've got to win to get fans in the stands. The first few years the program came back, you know, there were 10,000 plus. First game we brought back, it was 17,000 that first year, you know, 14, 15,000 a game. It's got to be something the community wanted. And to be honest with you, I wasn't here when the program went away. I got here the following year. But it was really exciting in 2010, and it still is this day. You know, Southeast Texas, you got to have football.
Yeah, no doubt, and it certainly allowed for some local kids or nearby kids to be able to play football at Lamar. You look up and down their roster, and there's obviously going to be some kids from Louisiana and California and some other states, but boy, this roster is just loaded with Texas kids.
And that's a unique because, and kind of funny, because when Pete Rosamondo got hired as a head coach, he's born and raised in New York, a Boston College guy, an East Coast guy. Some of the, I guess, negative approach when he was first hired was saying he doesn't have any Texas connections. Well, he's proved that wrong. He's got the local kids, of course, some kids held over from the previous staff, and he's brought some other kids in. And that was a concern when he first got here, is getting that Texas connection. I think he's done a really good job. And, you know, as most places will show you, they want to start local and work their way out. And that's what the coach staff here is. They want to keep these local kids right here in Southeast Texas.
Harold, you watch this team very closely. Have you seen the first two games of the season for Lamar? If Lamar offense is going to be successful, what has to work offensively?
I think the run game, and that starts up front with the offensive line. The offensive line did a better job from week one to week two. I got a great group of young receivers, and there's several different targets you can go to when you talk about this receiving staff. I think it's going to have to be the run game. Got to get that run game up a little bit to kind of mix it up a little bit.
How about defensively? Where's the strength?
Right now, the defensive line. I think the defensive line's doing a good job. The linebackers and secondary, they're getting better. Again, this team is young, and I know that is an excuse for only so long, but again, these kids' game experience is really going to help them. And that's like playing like South Dakota, coming up there, playing a team like South Dakota. In a couple of weeks, the Cardinals open up a conference play, and playing this tough non-conference schedule, your first three games anyway, I think really helps the Cardinals mature, see these a lot faster teams. I think it really helps them for the conference play.
You talk about opening up conference play. When you look at the Southland Conference, what do you make of that league right now? I know there's been a lot of adjusting in college sports with teams going to different conferences, different levels. What do you make right now of the Southland Conference and the teams that are trying to hold it together?
Heavy at the top, very heavy at the top with the Southland Conference. And it's one of those old cliches, like the old movie, in any given Sunday, on any given Saturday, anybody could beat anybody. I think there's a lot of parity in this conference. At one time, Sam Houston State, team that played for a couple of national title games against North Dakota State a couple times, and they won one a few years ago. I think it was South Dakota State they beat in that championship game in that spring schedule. They've left a conference. They've now moved up to FBS. But it seems like Southeastern Louisiana, who made it too deep in the playoffs last year, UIW, who made it all the way to the semifinals last year, you're really heavy at the top, and we'd like to see that gap closed.
Do you feel good about where the conference is at right now and just kind of it staying together?
I do. I think it's really good. It got back to where it needs to be. Lamar, for some reason, decided for one year to go out to the WAC. Played one year Western Athletic Conference football, and at that time, some regional teams such as Sam Houston State, Stephen F. Austin, Tarleton State, and Abilene Christian, all Texas schools, they called us the Texas Four, were part of that. So that helped somewhat, but it killed our fans. I think Lamar right now, the way we're set up, and until we really get rolling, we got to be where our fans can get in a car and drive to a game, and that's where we are now with the Southland. The furthest trip's like 4 hours.
Oh, look forward to seeing the Lamar Cardinals in action on Saturday when South Dakota plays host to Lamar. It's a 1 o'clock Central Time kickoff inside the Dakota Dome. Harold, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Safe travels on your way up to South Dakota.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for having me.
That is Harold Mann. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Lamar Cardinals. Coyotes take on Lamar Saturday. It's a red out in the Dakota Dome, so put on all the red that you can. Paint your face, your hair, whatever you got to do. But it's a red out in the Dome as the Coyotes take on the Lamar Cardinals Saturday, 1 o'clock kickoff in the Dakota Dome. And as always, that game televised by Midcoast Sports, and you can also hear it on the Coyote Sports Network. Our pregame show coverage gets underway at 12 o'clock. Will Powell graduated in 2013 from the University of South Dakota. Obviously, a tremendous career for him. He still holds a record at the University of South Dakota and had a tremendous four-year career at USD. You look back at his time in four seasons, he had 14 catches as a freshman. He never had less than 42 catches in a single season his final 3 years at USD. So obviously very trusted by his quarterbacks and a tremendous career. But he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and had a chance this week to talk to him about his Coyote career and the career that followed football at the University of South Dakota. Will, first of all, congratulations on your induction into the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame, a career that I'm sure for you doesn't feel like it was too terribly long ago, just a decade removed from college football, but an opportunity to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. When you got the phone call, what was your reaction and what did it mean to you?
It meant the world to me. You're absolutely right. Time flies. I don't know where the last 10 years went. It felt like yesterday I was back in Verm putting the pads on, having a blast with my teammates performing on Saturdays. But our time at USD was some of the best years of my life, and I'm so grateful and thankful for all the people that made my experience there what it was. And to be called by Herbster, to hear that from him and for him to let me know that I made the Hall of Fame, to join the ranks of some of the top players in the history of Kyle football. Just, it was an absolute blessing. I couldn't have guessed that was going to happen when I entered the program back in 2009. And so I'm just ecstatic.
You know, when you got out and you got done with your career, you obviously knew that you had had a very successful career. You had, I'm sure, at some point, a chance to kind of reflect on your college football career. Did it ever cross your mind when you got done that perhaps you did enough to be inducted one day into the Hall of Fame?
You know, yeah, I definitely had an inclination that I'd at least be considered for the Hall of Fame. You know, you never want to be too overconfident about things like that. But yeah, I felt like I, you know, performed extremely well at USD and, you know, breaking records and being the top at your position, I assumed, you know, would at least put me in contention to be on that list. And again, I'm just so thrilled to have been selected in my first year of eligibility.
Yeah, pretty incredible. And you look back at your time, I mean, 14 catches in your freshman season, that was probably kind of fun. But after that, no less than 42 catches in any of your seasons. What do you remember most about that stretch of 4 years playing for USD?
You know what? I really just remember most the time with my teammates, the coaching staff, the time we spent grinding in the weight room, the times we spent watching film and having fun outside of football. You know, obviously the big time moments like beating Minnesota, playing against the big schools like Wisconsin and Air Force and Central Florida, those are incredible memories that I won't forget. But I think more importantly, it's the memories spent joking around with my buddies in the locker room, and just the transformation from a young boy at the age of 18 to transforming into a man at the age of 22 when I graduated.
You know, you mentioned the opportunity to play Minnesota, and obviously that's still talked about as the great win in Coyote football history, and you had a tremendous part in that. I think a couple of touchdowns in that game. Obviously the win was exciting, but when did you feel truly that your team had a chance to actually win that football game and know that that could be one of the great moments in the history of the program?
Yeah, so I'll backtrack a little bit. The game before, we played Central Florida, obviously a very talented Division I FBS school, and we lost by 3 or 4 touchdowns, I believe, but I felt like it could have been a lot closer. I personally was disappointed with the coaching strategy in that game, as I felt like we were trying to run the ball more so we wouldn't lose by a ton of points versus really attacking, throwing the ball, and going after it. And so after that game, I think we all felt confidence, like, we can compete at this level. And so going into practice that week, preparing for Minnesota, we came in with that mentality. And also, when you're playing an FBS school, as an FCS school, you have nothing to lose, right? The FBS school has everything to lose. And so walking into a game like that, there's no fear. It's just all, it's all adrenaline. And quite frankly, the first touchdown that I had, a corner pass that Dante threw to me, getting up after that, I knew that we were there to play and that we had a great chance at winning that game.
You know, I was looking back at that 2010 season. You guys traveled all over the country that year: Orlando, Florida, Minneapolis, and Fargo, Davis, California, Cedar City. And you actually played the team that the Kyle football team will play this weekend, Lamar, as they return to football, and travel down to Beaumont, Texas. What a year of just covering miles around the country.
Yeah, and unfortunately, times were different back then. We weren't flying private, chartering planes like they're doing today. You know, we were driving to Omaha, taking a bus. It was definitely not the same traveling experience that these guys are getting today. But again, those are the best memories that I have, is getting on the bus, messing around with the teammates, going on these just crazy long trips, and then going and balling out and performing at the end of the day. Like, you can't ask for anything more than that in regards to a collegiate career. And as hard as it was, I'm thankful for those long treks that we had that year.
in your last season, you had 55 catches. It was the most that you had in a season in your career, and put you in the record books in that regard. How much pride did you take in being a dependable receiver that no matter what was going on, that your quarterback could trust you?
You know, it took all the pride in the world. You know, I wasn't necessarily the fastest guy on the field, but I could catch the ball and I had hands. And that's how I built a rapport and that trust with my quarterbacks throughout my career, from Noah Shepard to Dante and then to Josh my senior year. And honestly, playing with Noah my true freshman year, a guy who went on to play in the NFL and the CFL for a while, as an 18-year-old, walking into huddle, watching him command his teammates, watching him lead, and then also watching him demand greatness from us. You know, I dropped a couple balls my freshman year, and after he got after me, I hardly ever dropped the balls again. And so as a receiver, you've got one job at the end of the day, and that's to catch the ball and make plays. And so that's what I made my mission throughout my career at USD.
No, 55 catches in a single season still today is a record at USD. It was an 11-game effort in 2012 for you and your team. And you look back at just your career and that time of USD football, it was going through a different transition. Scheduling was obviously very difficult. That's why you played all over the country so many times. Do you look back at that time and just understand how important that period was for USD as they made this transition?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we laid the foundation for what these guys are experiencing today, for them to be able to play in the Missouri Valley at the highest level of FCS football right now and compete. I'm so proud of the effort that myself and my teammates and the coaching staffs put into those years in the transition. I mean, it's tough when you look back and, you know, for the first 3 years, we didn't have a shot at the playoffs. We didn't have a shot at going to the Division II playoffs. We'd never shot at the FCS playoffs. And so we had to kind of build our own motivation in there. And we knew that we were kind of setting the foundation, and we took pride in that, and clearly it's paying off today.
Yeah, no question. Well, after your career got done at USD, you went on to play in Europe. What was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, tried to make the NFL. I've had seven knee surgeries, so the NFL didn't quite like that very much. And you know, after I got into USD, I was very lost. I was depressed. I hadn't reached my ultimate football dream, and so fortunately, I had the opportunity to go and play in the south of France, right in the Mediterranean Sea, and eventually went on to play in Germany and Serbia, and those were some of the best years of my life. I've traveled to more than 30 countries now because of football. And so it's a much different environment over there, right? Football is not the number one sport like it is here. You're not getting nearly as many fans at games. You're not necessarily known in the community for football, but I think that's what kind of made it special. It kind of brought me back to the grassroots of football, helped me realize why I love playing the game so much. And again, being able to play football and experience those different cultures was an experience I'll never forget.
You know, after you got done playing professionally in Europe, you co-founded Podium, and I know some people probably know you were affiliated with this and maybe understood it a little bit, but it was essentially a recruitment agency that helped put some pro athletes with teams internationally. What led to the creation of Podium, and what inspired that for you?
Yeah. So Marcus and I, Marcus Sims, running back at USD, we played together in Germany. And again, we fell in love with life in Europe and the football in Europe. And we wanted to help other guys have the same opportunity as us, because a lot of guys in college football, even college football today, don't know that there's an opportunity to play international football. A lot of guys think it's NFL or nothing. And that was us. We didn't know that opportunity existed. And so we founded Podium to help guys like ourselves that fell short of making the NFL continue playing football, going and experiencing the world and letting football pay them back after all the years invested into becoming great at their craft. And so, today we've placed over 500 athletes and coaches with teams all over the world. We've hosted 30 plus football camps and all-star games in various countries around the world. And our biggest event today is the Podium All-Star Bowl, which is a college all-star game where we have NFL teams, international teams come and recruit players. And then we also have the Podium Preps All-American Bowl, which is where we have 100 players from across the country come in, high school players from across the country come and compete in front of college coaches trying to get college scholarships. So an absolute blessing to still be involved in the game and to be helping guys that are going through the same experiences that we had.
I know you had goals when you helped co-found Podium, but did you imagine it would turn into what it is today? It obviously has been very successful for you.
I dreamed that it would be a lot more financially successful. No, nonetheless, we've made an incredible impact on the game and on hundreds and hundreds of athletes. And at the end of the day, it's all been worth it for that impact that we've made on those guys. So, did I think it would be as big as this? And I hope that it continues to grow.
Yeah, it's very cool and really cool that you're continue to be involved in that and obviously connected to the game. And obviously you live not too far away from Vermillion. How connected do you feel to Coyote football and still kind of following what the Yotes are doing 10 years after you graduated?
Yeah, I feel very connected to the Coyote community. It's a blessing to only be an hour north of Verm, and I think that's what's so special about the brotherhood and all the alumni from USD being in Sioux Falls. You can't really get away from that, and it's such a blessing to be able to go to games, to be able to talk with former football players from USD, and to be able to go around to business meetings and say, "Oh, you played football at USD, or you went and studied at the business school at USD." It's so powerful. And if you rewind back to before I went to USD and I was debating which school to go to, my dad told me, "Well, I think you should go to USD because what is going to do for your professional career once you're done, you don't even fully understand right now." And he couldn't have been more right about that, because I'm finding success all over in the business world because of my relationships that I made at USD. So, such a blessing to still be involved in the community.
Now, it worked out for you on the playing field. It worked out for you, obviously, in the business world. Now, as Coyote fans reflect, and they've had a chance to kind of think back to that time period, obviously seeing your name on the list of Hall of Fame inductees this year. When people think back to that era, 2009 to 2012, and they think about Will Powell, what do you hope that fans remember the most about Will Powell, the football player?
I would hope that they remember a young man that left it all on the field, who put 100% effort into everything he did on and off the field, who not only was a fantastic football player who made some miraculous catches, but also a young man that got a 3.8 GPA, graduating near the top of his class with a finance degree. A guy who put others first and treated everyone with kindness and led with integrity. So that is who I hope that they remember.
Now, certainly a special legacy that you left at the University of South Dakota. Will, great stuff. I really, really appreciate your time, gracious enough to give us some, and congratulations again on your induction into the Hall of Fame, and I look forward to continuing to chat with you in the future as well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for everything you do, John. It's been a pleasure.
That's Will Powell. Great stuff from Will, as always. Always a great conversation with him. Great to catch up with him about his career at USD and what we have a chance to see for what we had a chance to see with him as a receiver at the University of South Dakota and where things will go from there. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. The Coyote women's soccer team was a winner at Drake this week. They beat Drake 2-1 in Des Moines on Wednesday, so they are back in action on Saturday. It is senior night for the soccer team. They'll take on Lindenwood. That starts at 6 o'clock Saturday evening, so check it out. Following football. Volleyball set for its final non-conference trip of the season. They'll play at the Green Bay Invite. They'll play Green Bay on Thursday night. Friday afternoon, they take on Illinois State. And then Saturday afternoon, they will play Central Michigan. Central Michigan, four of their last five contests have gone to five sets. Coyotes have gone to five sets in three of their last four contests. So two teams that know how to play to the end, going to battle it out at the Green Bay Invite. Should be a lot of fun there. Women's tennis in action this weekend. They are at the Gopher Invite in Minneapolis. They are set to play on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, football in action on Saturday at 1 o'clock against Lamar, and women's soccer against Lindenwood at 6 o'clock will follow. It as senior night for women's soccer, so they are going to honor and recognize the seniors at that matchup. Women's triathlon heads to Fort Worth, Texas for Battle at the Fort on Sunday. So we'll see how they are able to compete, but they are set to compete on Sunday. And then also coming up this weekend, the men's golf team is back in action. They head to Manhattan, Kansas for the Wildcat Invitational hosted by Kansas State. That is set to be played on Sunday and Monday. So that is what is going on in Coyote Athletics. And don't forget, next Thursday, it is Lunch with the U in Sioux Falls. South Dakota volleyball coach Leanne Williamson will be the featured speaker at the Howling Pack Lunch with the U next Thursday at the Pizza Ranch in Sioux Falls in the 41st Street location. Be there at 11:30 a.m. for the conversation with Coach Leanne Williamson. So that is coming up next week, next Thursday, the 21st. It is Lunch with the U. That is put on by the Howling Pack. All right, that's what's going on in Coyote Athletics. For ticket information to stay up to date with all things Coyote Athletics, go to goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great rest of your weekend. Big thanks to Will Powell and Harold Mann and Ella Greenberg for stopping by and joining the podcast this week. And huge congratulations to the individuals inducted into the Henry Hyder Coyote Sports Hall of Fame. Have a great weekend. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.